The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
It's episode 2 of the 2018 season on Federal Football Report, the radio station, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Website, federalnewsradio.com. Kevin Stanfield in studio. Kevin, how are you, man?
Man, I'm doing lovely, man. This is so exciting, man, that we're here to... Like, you know, we are the show of the people, right? Of the people, by the people, and for the people.
And
right?
We are the people.
And yeah, we are the people.
We are of the people. And so this is what we do here on the Federal Football Report. Look, the rosters are set for the most part. There'll be some moving around and some things like that possibly before game number one. But for the most part, rosters are set. And it's for real this weekend. You know, this one counts. This one goes on the record. This one, you know, look, no one makes... or does not make the playoffs based on the first week of the season, but you kind of set the tone for the season. Yeah, and it's always better to win than to lose.
That's right.
You know, and so it's real this week.
A little inside baseball. You know, we were talking before the show about, you know, about our guests for the upcoming season, and George Wallace hit us up because he was extremely disturbed because I put some feelers out on Twitter.
Yeah, to see what people wanted to see on the show, get some folks
who
on.
They wanted to be.
And our buddy George Wallace, Redskins beat reporter for WTOP, says, hey, what about me?
And I said, George, you're a given, man. You're part, you were here from the beginning, right? But I hit him up to see if he'd be available today, and he surprised me by saying, well, I'll be at practice. And I say, oh, yeah, they are practicing.
Exactly.
They do have to practice this thing, though. But I'm excited, man. I got one request for the season.
What's that?
One thing will tell me if this season will be a success or a failure.
What's that?
We win the first coin toss. We don't defer. If we don't defer, if we want the ball, we want to score, we want to win. That will set the tone for the whole season. So I don't ask for much. So I had to text George, see if we can get the host, hold of Coach Gruden, say, Coach, you know, keep the ball. We want the ball. You can't win without the what? Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
so that's it.
The whole point is to score more points than the team can't score if you don't have the ball.
That's right.
And
that's
so,
right.
So that's how we feel here on Federal Football Report. And, we've got, of course, America's favorite, segment, in all of radio, Fake News or Not coming up next segment. Also, we've got our, NFC East Roundtable, where no Giants, no Eagles, it's just Cowboys in the studio for that. And so we'll have Jason Jennings in to talk about Dallas Cowboys roster moves.
When do we break the exciting news about, Federal Football Report going international?
Well, that's what I want to break next, is the fact that we have possibly long lost relatives of yours who you've connected with.
Yeah, it's you know, the magic of social media, right? I'm out here telling the world about the Federal Football Report and and trying to, you know, I know, you know, the whole world listens, but I just want them to admit it, right?
Exactly.
But ran across an interesting another Twitterverse person, right, or entity. It turns out there was an outfit called Stanfields.
Right.
Stanfields that sold underwear.
Exactly.
And there was a picture of a dude modeling some underwear.
Not you.
Not me.
Kevin
some
Stanfield,
other dude. Right,
but
right,
some
right.
other guy.
Some other deserving soul. But so I sent a tweet out. I said, is this real? Or is this somebody trying, maybe some Russian collusion going on or something? And so the Stanfield Underwear Company, or Stanfields as they're called,
the Stanfield
they
underwear.
Reached out to me and said, yeah, we're real, and we want to give you the opportunity to model some of our product. Now, truth be told, my modeling days are behind me. Not far behind me.
Yeah, but you still got a little bit left in the tank.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You can still
I could sell some drawers if I had to, right? But I said, well, you know, we want to do this the right way. So I contacted Lisa Wolf, our brilliant general manager
here at WFED. Thank you so much again, Lisa, for allowing this fifth season of the Federal Football Report to grace the airwaves here on 1500 AM.
But see, I wanted to make sure everything was legal, right? Because I didn't want to duplicate the great payola underwear scandal of radio in the 1960s, you know, because you just can't like have people give you stuff and then you mention their name on the radio. That's illegal, right?
Yeah.
But like I said, Lisa's brilliant, and she said, you know, underwear wise, go for it. She didn't think we were violating any FCC laws, and so it turns out that Stanfields is an outfit out of Canada. They're based out of Canada. They have a long and proud history and tradition of covering people up in Canada, you know, and they need some good underwear in Canada, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you want to go somewhere for some serious underwear, why not go to Canada, right? And so they're going to send us some underwear, and I'm actually going to wear this underwear, Stanfield's, during the show.
Okay.
During the show. They're going to support us. We're going to support them.
Exactly.
Because that's what we do, right? It's not payola. We want the world to know. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to send out on Twitter, I want you, the Federal Football Report listener, to help us with a slogan for Stanfields in America, right?
Right, because if you're going to do this, then you have to have some type of slogan.
I have one. I have a good one.
Okay.
An example, I'm going to say, don't get your Stanfields in the bunch.
There you go.
That's it.
So we need some slogans there. Tweet at FFRep. Right? Isn't that our Twitter handle?
Yeah, at FFRep, yeah. Or at Stanfield Kevin, or at Claude J Radio. I appreciate last week. We got tons of love for the first show. Tons of love. The response was overwhelming, I'm telling you. So, and Stanfield's is going to appreciate it, too. So we're going to keep you guys posted. Now, when we get our hands on some Stanfield's, now, looking at their website, they got such a variety. They got briefs. They got boxers. They got boxer briefs, trunks, undershirts, V-necks, A-shirts, winter shirts, long underwear, pajamas, spelled with PYJ, because they're in Canada, right? You know.
Oh, okay.
You know, this is going to be so cool, right? I think the Federal Football Report single-handedly is going to save the National Free Trade, North American Free Trade Agreement.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the whole NAFTA thing going on, right?
That's right.
We can maybe help America out negotiation and, you know, put America first or whatever.
Yeah, one brief at a time.
Exactly.
One brief at a time, right?
We'll see what we can do.
Now, here's the thing. It might be a little controversy here, right? You know, this is a family-friendly show, right?
Right.
If they send these bikini briefs on,
Are you going to post pictures of yourself?
I had to talk to my wife about that, but, you know, the fans, like, banging on the door, you know, I don't know if we're ready for that.
I mean,
is America ready for that, right? You know, just hold on to your Stanfields, ladies and gentlemen, because this is coming. So
there you go.
We're going to keep you posted. We appreciate Stanfields. We appreciate the name and the history, and this is going to be fun. This is going to be good.
Really going to be
fun.
I
feel good all under.
Well, what we're hoping for is for something good this upcoming weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Skins travel to Arizona. It's a 4:25 kickoff. To face the Cardinals in week one of the 2018 season. And Kevin, going into this game here in week one, you know, you hope that during the offseason, you hope during the preseason that you're able to answer some of the questions that seem to be a little unsure with the team. Coming into week one, what do you think is one of the biggest questions that have yet to be answered with the team?
The biggest question, without a doubt, is can the coach adapt?
Right.
Is the coach so stuck in his ways that he is continually trying to make guys fit into his system rather than maximize the talent that's on his team?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
I think that it's going to be like kind of 50-50 because if you notice the youth of the roster, he didn't start out like that. This year, 30% of the roster is second-year players or rookies, free agents, you know. And with that youth, you could mold them into what you want them to be. But I don't know if he has time enough to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking they went into the thing with the Alex Smith trade as this is a now or never type deal. Alex is not certainly signing.
He's a spring chicken.
Yeah. He's not coming aboard for a long-term project or anything like that, right? So I think, as George Allen once said, the future is now. So, you know, with the addition of Adrian Peterson, I'm thinking that the front office is agreeing that the future is now. But if you're going to look for the future, you have to have that youth. So I think it's all up to the coach this year. It's all up to the coach. We blame injuries. We blame lack of talent. This year is all on Jay.
And I do believe that this year is all on Jay. And one of the interesting things that I've seen, and look, you can go back the last 2 years, and I think every single week, except for maybe week one of the last two seasons, you've always heard us talk about the fact that this team has got to commit to running the football.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you're not going to win if you're running 8 times a game, you're running 11 times a game. You've got to commit to running the football. And it's not one of those things that you can just say, okay, it was successful because we ran for 200 yards. Oh, yeah, sure. But it's not unsuccessful simply because you had 8 carries for 15 yards. Sometimes you've got to keep pounding and keep pounding away, and you'll get those yards later in the game. And we just didn't see that type of commitment to the run from the team in the first, and really since Jay Gruden's been here.
No. I heard a certain Hall of Fame running back say over the weekend that he'd get mad if he go into a game thinking that he's only going to get the ball 12 times, right?
Right.
He said sometimes it takes like 16, 17, 18 carries to get going to figure out the The defense.
To get into the flow, to figure out things, to kind of get some hits in there, you know, to get the offensive line in the rhythm, you know what I mean? To build off of play action.
Right.
You've got a big tight end, Jordan Reed, who would probably, you know, could benefit off of some play action, pop out passes to him, some outs in the flats and stuff like that.
Yeah, and we have to get this mentality of the offensive line that they're not like on Broadway where they're shuffling from side to side, you know.
Right.
They're not doing an electric glide, right? They need to hit somebody. They need, remember we've been saying for 5 years now, that if you need a yard and you're paying these guys up front $1 million a year.
I should be able to get a yard.
I should be able to get a yard.
I should be able to get one yard running behind
Even if it's one dude on the sideline, he doesn't do anything else.
Yeah.
He's third and one. And he comes in and plays guard at third and one and tells the world, we're running, and I'm going to knock you for a yard and a half.
Right. Because at some point in time, you know, and you know, it reminds me of things that you know, and he's on another station, but that's okay, that Rick Doc Walker would say.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it's football. You know, it's moving the ball down the field.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
It's getting a yard when you need it. It's about hitting somebody. It's about tackling somebody. Make things. We don't need super complex schemes. You don't need. You know, what good does it do if the players don't understand it?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Block the man in front of you. Get me a yard.
That's right.
Run the ball. And that's what we want to find out with this team. Like, what will the? Because what I still find is that we still don't know. We've been searching for the last 3 or 4 years what the identity of the football team is.
Hmm.
What's the identity of the team?
I think right now the identity is Alabama.
Right, with Josh Allen and
Jonathan Allen
Payne,
and Deron Payne and Ryan Anderson and Sims, the free agent wide receiver, right? You know that's apparently what it is, which is not a bad tradition to have, right? You know, so they have to make a statement, and it can't be like Josh Norman's statement. It can't be Trent Williams' statement. It can't even be the quarterback statement. It has to be the team statement. Mm-hmm. They have to realize, they have to make people almost be afraid to know that the Redskins are coming to town. And I saw a little bit of that when Adrian Peterson had his debut. They had an interesting camera shot from behind the defense. And you saw the safety bracing to tackle Peterson.
Yeah.
And you saw the safety was getting a little tight because he knew Peterson was coming, right?
Uh-huh,
you know,
uh-huh.
And that's what you want. You want people to get a little tight when they know that Washington's coming to town, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So they made some roster moves. Got to get the roster down to 53. Just want to talk a little bit about some of the players that I think might be notable. Number one, the Redskins released Capri Bibbs, who had a really good preseason. I felt really good during the training camp. Good preseason. I thought he had a chance to make the 53 roster. He did not. Also, wide receiver Brian Quick was one of the players that the Redskins released. Redskins waived just a notable Kevin Hogan. I didn't expect him to make the team. But then also linebacker Martrell Spate, you know, not just because he's played on this team at linebacker before, but also he was a special teams guy, you know. And so I was interested in the fact that they decided to let him go.
Yeah, that was a surprise to me, as was Bibbs. It's almost as if they said, well, we're not going to flush the draft pick we spent on Samaje Perine. And I don't know what to do with Rob Kelly. I mean, Rob Kelly pretty much ran for his life the last preseason game. So I guess they figured they'd give him a chance and maybe looked at what he did in terms of production last year. And Capri Bibbs isn't really big enough to be an every down back.
Mm-hmm.
I heard some guys saying something along the lines of they should keep a backup third down running back, a backup to Chris Thompson because he's got 100. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of silly, right? You know, because the reason the guy's a third down back is because he's not good enough to be a first down back. You know, ideally you have to look at you got Zeke Elliott. He's in on third down.
He's a third down back. He's also a first down back and a second down.
That's
back.
Right. Most good backs are first, second, and third down backs, right?
Yeah.
You know, dude
AP in
Pittsburgh.
In his prime, didn't need a third down
back. Yeah, that's
right.
He was
a third down back.
Right. You know, right. You know, so if it's like third and 20, third down back, right? But just, you know, don't worry about it. Get the first down on second down.
Right.
Don't have to worry about it. Don't have to worry about third. Yeah, right. So I'm not really surprised about Duvall. I am surprised about the move with Spate. I don't know. You don't know what goes on behind the scenes. We don't know. We do know that when called upon, he answered.
Every time it seemed.
Yeah. Every time.
It seemed like he was always making a play.
Yeah. But they had dudes like, you know, keeping him over Zach Vigil. I don't know if they played the exact same position. You can't really tell with this 3-4, but I was a little surprised with that. But, like I said, for the most part, that was it. There weren't any major surprises. He suffered a concussion last year. He never seemed like really...
Cause the same guy, yeah.
Yeah, he never was the same after that. And I think that they did pretty much what that was expected. I think the biggest surprise was keeping both Fat Rob and P-Ryan.
Yeah, because you figured one of them had to go.
Yeah.
But made it interesting is that, you know, I feel like Rob Kelly outperformed P-Ryan, especially with that fumble that P-Ryan had.
Everybody just wrote him off right then.
Yeah,
and said, oh,
exactly.
This end of this contest,
but
right?
But it's like, you know what? They weren't going to waste that draft pick. They were like, we're not going to cut you, even if it hurts to keep you. We're not going to cut you.
Man, so it's something.
Yeah, something. So it's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website's federalnewsradio.com. Coming up, America's favorite segment, Fake News or Not. Also, the NFC East Roundtable. We'll have all that coming up. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to the Federal Football Report, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the website, federalnewsradio.com, Claude Jennings, Kevin Stanfield in studio. The fifth year of the show.
5 years.
And Kevin brought up a great point, that for the last 5 years, we've been saying the same thing over and over and over again to the team, it feels like.
That's right.
And no one's listening.
And they're not listening.
Saying the same thing for 5 years. You know what they call that? They call that marriage. Boom. No. Just messing around.
Look, we were saying a lot of the same things. Just dawned on me when you said that, right? Mm-hmm. We've been saying run the ball. Don't defer when you get there.
Right.
Give me somebody who can give me a yard.
Exactly. Give me someone exactly who can get me a yard. Crazy. So anyway, it's time for one of our favorite segments. America loves this segment. You know what it's time for.
It's time for fake news or not.
Fake news or not. I give Kevin three statements. He lets me know whether it's fake news or whether it's not. Statement number one, AP will lead the team in carries this year.
That's not fake
news or is that not?
That's not fake. I said I can't let you get the question out. Put it this way. If he doesn't, he should. No, man, I was quite excited about that the team pulled the trigger on that on AP. AP was out there, you know. This society, we've gone too millennial crazy, right? We think that millennials run the world. It's like, I heard a guy say the other day, millennials walk around like they rent the place. No, so don't, you know, age, you know, it's this production that matters, right? You know, there used to be a time, and I do see this change in society. Once you get to be a certain age, society will just kick you out the workplace. We don't want you around anymore. Mm-hmm. But now they realize that veterans are productive. They're smart. They got something to offer society, right? So I understand the youth movement and all, but AP still got a lot left in the tank,
absolutely,
man. I'm telling you, he's willing to show it and he's ready to show it. I just hope that they allow him that opportunity. That's news.
Yeah.
That's news.
I'm with you. I think that's news because why? Are you really going to not give the ball to AP to hand it off to Rob Kelly? You know, what are you going to do? You know, you're going to give the ball to AP because he's AP.
Motivated. Highly motivated.
Second statement. This season, Alex Smith and the offense will be a noticeable upgrade over Kirk Cousins in last year's the offense under Kirk Cousins.
You know what? I'm going to say that's fake news.
Okay.
I'm going to say that's fake news because they're saying it too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like when he left, it was like, oh, man, we're just so relieved to have him. They didn't come out and say that, but they were just singing the praises of Alex Smith. Oh, my God, he's just so nice a guy, and everybody likes him. He's wonderful. He's a nice guy. He'll eat lunch with this guy. He'll eat lunch with that guy. He helped this guy change his
tie. No one sits alone in the cafeteria anymore now that Alex is around.
Yeah, really. I guess what was it? Did they have 53 individual tables before and all that, right? So I'm saying that's fake news because they're trying a little bit too hard to promote that. I do think that the team is better off without Cousins there because things were too Cousins-centric, right?
Okay.
You know, when RG3, and we'll touch him here a little later on in the program, when he was there, he was selfish. He wasn't a team player. It was this problem and that problem. which is interesting because no one else in the league that he's played for has ever said anything.
Right.
But anyway, but back to Cousins, he just wasn't lovable enough, and he wanted to be loved, but he couldn't give the love that he didn't want, man.
This is the Days of Our Lives? What are we watching here?
It's an episode of Steve Harvey Show or something, right? You know, relationships in the National Football
exactly.
League.
Exactly.
So that's fake news, man. Let's see what this guy got. Plus, it shouldn't matter because he should only throw the ball 18 times a game because he should be giving it to AP.
Exactly. So it shouldn't matter that much.
Right.
Last question. Jordan Reed and Chris Thompson will play over 12 games this season. I don't mean if you combine it. They both will play 12 games this season. Fake news or not?
If they do, it will be news to me. That's fake news. Number one, from a fractured fibula.
Uh-huh.
And this was interesting to me. I heard a veteran athlete say, a bone, it has a definite healing point. You can look at a bone and tell the progression of its healing, right? It should be, you shouldn't have to do a lot. That's nature. That's
right.
the human body mm-hmm. fixing itself. That's what the magnificent machine we all have, right? But they're having a hard time predicting when he's going to be back. So was there other damage that they're not telling us about? Or is mm-hmm. it like, is he not, you know, rehabbing like he's supposed to? I mean, he seems to be a very likable guy. I'm hoping he's just doing everything in his power to get back. And the team, since they got rid of the last training crew.
Right.
Let me go offshoot for a minute. You notice how after they got rid of the last training crew, there's nowhere near the number of injuries in the preseason as it was last year?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm just, we'll look back at that from time to time. But, and Jordan Reed, we just don't know where he is right now, right? So,
right.
Yeah, any production you get out of him at this point, I'm going to consider it gravy. Any production out of those two guys is gravy. They should be going to plan
B. And they're
B
supposed
right
to play
now.
A big point, big part in this offense, too.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's why it's fake news.
Exactly.
That's why it's fake news. I think if you rely on it, you're doomed, right? You look and see what else you got. Rely on maybe a good running game, a short passing game. Adrian Peterson can catch passes, too. Ball control offense and a good defense. So, yeah, that's fake news. If you're lying on these guys, don't pick them. They're not going to be on my fantasy team. Let's put it this way. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's another great addition to fake news. And we just break down the news coming out of Skins camp.
That's right.
And we let you know whether it's fake news or not. Thank you so much for your love and support for that segment. America, because that's what America wants.
And Canada.
Let's not forget the Canadians.
That's right.
The Stanfield company.
That's right.
There we go. Good underwear. So let's go with the NFC East roundtable. We've got no Giants, no Eagles this week. We've got Jason Jennings breaking down the Cowboys. The season is upon us. The week's coming in. Just a couple of questions for our Cowboys correspondent. Jason, what's going on, man? The season's coming up.
Hey, man, I'm very, very excited. I got one word for you, linebackers.
guess that's where we're starting with Dallas, linebackers.
Hey, man, I'm excited about this year. Only one word I have to say is linebackers. We made our cuts, and we kept a couple people who I love. Of course, mm-hmm. we're going to keep Sean Lee.
Of course.
Jalen Smith, who's a monster right now. Mm-hmm. He's definitely over his injury.
I want to ask you about him a little bit later. Keep going.
And we got Thompson, who we got from Green Bay.
Okay.
And I would say he had the best preseason out of all linebackers.
Get out of here.
Okay. Out of all linebackers, even over Jalen Smith, who everyone is so excited about. But Thompson had the best. It's almost like Lee is good, but mm-hmm. we don't know if he can stay on the field.
He's got the same questions that we have about Chris Thompson and Jordan Reed.
Right,
you know, Lee, who seems to be the glue and the leader of the defense.
Yeah.
And the defense literally falls apart when he's not in there. Like, no, it's as if no one knows what to do. And you got the same questions with him that we have with Jordan Reed and Chris Thompson.
Right.
Just on a greater level with the defense.
He's the only thing y'all got going for you. But go ahead.
I will tell you this, though. My guy that we got from Green Bay, Thompson. Mm-hmm. Right, my highlight of the whole preseason.
When did he come over?
We picked him up. I guess he got cut, and we had picked him up.
But, sometime in the spring.
Yeah, he made the cuts. But the thing about it, if Sean Lee can't stay on the field, I feel like Thompson has Stanfield draws on because he can stay on the field. Right?
He's
so it's pretty right. There you go.
He'll need the briefs, the bikinis, and the long underwear.
But he can
all
stay
right.
on the field,
okay,
right? So he must got his Stanfields on.
That's right.
There
That'll
you
do
go.
It.
And Vander Esch, the rookie drafted, he's
right.
hurt. I'm not worried about that. Wilson is in the last year of his contract, and we personally know that people who end up paying the last year of their contract normally plays better, mm-hmm. right? So I just feel like, you know, our defensive line and our linebackers, I know everyone wants Earl Thomas. I get it. But who you gonna give up, right? Because we got Dak coming up, we got Zeke coming up.
Some contracts that you gotta pay some folks if you want to.
We got a big boy.
Because both of those guys are playing their rookie contracts.
There you go.
And Zeke, and so that's coming up, yeah.
Exactly. So like at the end of the day, like who are you willing to give up? Because you still got Lawrence to sign to, mm-hmm. and he's gonna demand a whole lot of money. So right. like let's leave Earl Thomas alone.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, linebackers, man. I think linebackers, that's the number one key for the Cowboys, linebackers.
Couple of guys I want to ask you about. First, Randy Gregory. You know, back in a Cowboys uniform, he had issues with drugs and other things like that. How is he looking? What are you thinking about him coming into this year?
I think he's a freak athlete.
Okay.
It's not too many guys who can stay. Well, any sports, right? Whether it's basketball, soccer, football, whatever. If you take off 2 years, which he did, mm-hmm. but the preseason, he looks good.
Okay.
I mean, he has something like at that end, you need to bend and get around these guys. Mm-hmm. And he just has it. I mean, he has it. If he can just stay focused, stay on the right path, he just has it.
Okay. Jalen Smith. He was, you know, touted as probably one of the top players 2 years ago until he hurt his knee at Notre Dame in that bowl game. Took a year, I guess it was 3 years, took a year off in Dallas, his first year. Came back last year a little, I guess they kind of slow walked him back a little bit last year. Is he ready this year?
To tell you the truth, he played more plays last year than I thought that he would. Mm-hmm. If you go back, the doctors actually said they thought that this would be his year that he'd come back to play strong.
Mm-hmm.
And because of our linebacker crew, who didn't have any Stanfields on, yeah. he just was forced to play. Yeah, obviously, he had it because, right. I mean, he looked good. But now he's fully healthy. I think they're going to use him more of a pass rusher than anything mm-hmm. to put the pressure on the quarterback. Like I said, along with Ware and everybody else, I think he's going to be pretty good.
I like to make an interruption here. I like to interrupt okay. something okay. here. I like to interrupt because okay. I just had, I'll pat myself on the back.
For not saying anything.
No. This is totally different. Okay. I think that as the season progresses, this is the preseason version of the show. Mm-hmm. But when we talk to our friends at Stanfield and we do our recap of the show, mm-hmm. we should award our offensive and defensive
That's
Stanfield
it.
Player of the Year.
That's Which, it.
Who there had their Stanfields on for
exactly.
this game, right?
That's yeah. right. That's right.
That's
exactly
right.
what we
That's
should do.
That's what we're going to do. Okay.
Good thought.
You may continue.
So now, Jason, another question that I have. So, again, no Dez Bryant, no Jason Witten. You know, what is this receiver squad looking like? We know what you're getting with Zeke. We understand the issues with Travis Frederick, but like you said last week, and I hadn't thought about it, but it was such a good point that, you know, when you've got four, for the most part, all pros on the offensive line, if you lose one, you still should be pretty good. And so you know what you're getting with Zeke. Where's that offensive production from the skill position outside of running back going to come from?
Okay, so a lot of Cowboys fans is definitely going to hate me. Rico Gathers, right?
Really? Rico Gathers?
Wait. Because see, this is
he
about,
barely made the team.
Yeah.
Wasn't he arrested for, like, marijuana possession?
He was.
The
like,
day before cut day.
There wasn't a whole lot of
okay,
it.
Okay.
Are we going back to the Cowboys of the 90s with all the drugs?
They won.
We won Super Bowls.
They won.
Right, so, okay.
But let me just say that. He got caught with marijuana the night before cut day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Go right ahead.
Okay, well,
we're not nominating for the Nobel Prize now, right?
No, right. But listen, just go into the rehab, right, and get yourself together and act like you Charles Haley of the 90s, okay?
Right.
Because my thing is this, though, because we kept, four tight ends. And, okay, Swaim is definitely going to be the starter. And after
Correct.
Swaim, is like, okay, well, they say Rico Gavins can't block. Well, heck, the other players can't do anything anyway. At least Rico Gavins can catch the ball.
Give me a guy.
I will turn up to my Redskins, like Deshaun Jackson, right? They say he was a one horse trick, right?
One trick pony. Uh-huh.
One trick pony. But guess what he did? He got down the field and caught the ball.
Right.
And Gavins.
So, do you think the team will give Rico Gavins an opportunity?
No.
So then,
if it's me,
if it's you, right? But where do you think the production is going to come from?
Gallup and Beasley.
Okay.
If Gallup can get down the field and stretch that defense out, Beasley's going to have a monster year. I don't know why we kept Noah Brown, but we did. Mm-hmm. Terrence Williams, if he can just, get out of his own shell, I guess. But but definitely Gallup and Beasley. I think if Gallup can stretch the field out, Beasley's going to run that under routes, mm-hmm. which is surprising because they're actually using Beasley on the outside.
Okay.
With Tavon Austin, you don't know where you're going to line up. I would actually put him and Zeke in the backfield. And then see how the defense motion out, and then run Zeke out there.
He's kind of the back. He might be the forgotten guy in the whole equation, Tavon Austin, that he could actually make some things happen. So now, what I want to move to is ranking the NFC East, and we'll start with our Redskins Federal Football Report analyst, Kevin Stanfield.
First of all, let me go back to the Cowboys because that's important. Only thing they got going for them is Zeke and Dak. Right? You know, you got this year, Zeke is coming. It doesn't have that cloud of suspension. Am I playing? Right. Am I not? Doesn't have that over this year. Even with all that going on last year, they just missed the playoffs by one game.
Right.
So it's not, so, you know, Dak's number one receiver isn't on the team this year. So that was his number one. That was the level of talent Dak was working at. Yeah. Dak's number one tight end retired. You know, that's what Dak was working with. Mm-hmm. So if you all, we got Zeke, and Zeke is going to help hold down the fort until the Cowboys get Dak something to work with.
Right.
Because he does not have anything to work with. Nothing to work with right now. They're like making gumbo. Right?
They're not
making filet mignon. They're not making, like, you know, Cornish game here. They're making gumbo. They said, let's throw it in the pot and see if we can eat. Zeke wants to eat.
Yeah, we're
gonna. He's gonna give us something to eat. Just don't know what it is yet. Okay.
I like gumbo though.
Yeah,
like gumbo is pretty good.
On a good night, on a cold night. Yeah.
There you go.
Now, as far as the overall, you got to.
Let's rank this. Now, who's finishing first, second, third, fourth?
You got to give it to the Eagles until they're proven that they can't do it. Okay. They're the champions. The champs always get the benefit of the doubt, right?
All right.
The second, number two is Burgundy and Gold.
Okay.
You got Alex Smith, the leadership, knowing that he only has a few contracts left. He wants a big, big contract after this one. AP was something to prove. And the coach who doesn't realize that if he doesn't do it this year, that he'll be like maybe with his brother or maybe in Canada selling Stanfield. Right. You know, right?
He can always come on and be an analyst on the Federal Football Report.
He could.
I'd love to have him on.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to have that. We're going to go with the Giants number three because the Giants got Barkley and the running game in the NFC East in the wintertime is imperative. It's crucial. And once people forget this nonsense about the new NFL and realize it's still about blocking and running and tackling, you know, that George Allen once said, when you throw a football, three things can happen. Two of them are bad.
Right.
That's right.
Drop an interception.
Two of them are bad. So you got to run the ball, right? And then there's another team that's going to be in there. Right?
Okay, and then you got the Cowboys.
Yeah, the Cowboys.
All right, let's go to our Cowboys correspondent, Jason. NFC East, what you got?
Okay, so I'm gonna kind of go probably backwards.
Okay.
So Philadelphia Eagles, they last place.
Okay. You got the fourth.
Right. Only because I say because it's hard to read. History's already going to repeat itself. And and nine times out of ten, the team that win the Super Bowl doesn't come back and do good that next year.
Okay.
Next, I got to pick my Washington Redskins coming in third.
Okay.
I think they may start off hot. I think they're going to fall off. Then I got the Giants and the Cowboys. I think the New York Giants
finishing second.
Cowboys finishing first. I think the Giants' defense is actually going to show up, and I think that run game is going to show up because, once again, I was kind of jealous of the line. When they picked my man Hernandez, I think that's going to make a big change.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everyone's sleeping on the Cowboys' defense. I really do.
So NFC East insider from the Cowboys, I picked the Cowboys to finish first. We're not surprised about that, right?
Shocking.
And so there we go there. Here's what I've got. I've got the Giants finishing first in another NFC East classic.
Rodney would be happy to hear that.
In another classic NFC East worst to first year. That happens all the time. I think the Giants offense. The Giants had the worst luck with injury to their stars last year. Talk about Dak having nobody to work with this year. Eli, after the third or fourth week, had no one to throw the ball to.
That's right.
He's got Saquon Barkley, who's a great athlete. He's got Odell Beckham Jr. back in the fold. And so I think the Giants are going to finish first place. I've got Dallas finishing second. I agree with Jason in the fact that I think that their defense is better than most folks think. But I also think that the pressure for Dak to not have to force the ball to Dez is going to take him back to what he was 2 years ago. People forget when Dak started that 13-3 season that put Romo out of a job, which some would say was probably a little too premature, but Romo out of a job.
I didn't say it.
I think the first five or six games, Dez wasn't playing.
Right.
There was no Dez Bryant.
Right.
And he's setting records.
Right.
Dez comes back the back half of the year. they falter into the playoffs. I mean, they lose like the last two games of the year, something like that, or whatever. And then they go into playoffs, they lose to Green Bay, and then the next year with Dez, Dak's production drops. Yeah, I think I think trying to force the ball to Dez slowed him down. Number three, I've got the Eagles, and then I've got the Redskins finishing fourth, but a competitive fourth, if that makes any sense, like a 7-9, 8-8, something like that.
Yeah. Well, as long as it's not first, I'll be here.
That's how I see that playing out. So coming up next segment, we've got a special guest coming up. And we'll let you know about that on the other side of the break. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. It's the third and final segment of this week's edition of the Federal Football Report. The website, federalnewsradio.com. You can hear us on the radio. People still listen to the radio, Kevin. It's not just all about podcasts and stuff. People still listen to the radio. 1500 AM. We try to air every Monday after the Redskins game, 7 PM, right here on 1500 AM. Last week, I think we aired on Wednesday or Thursday, but it's the preseason.
That's right.
But, this
week. We're happy to be on whenever we're on.
Exactly. We're happy to be on whenever we're on. 7 PM, Monday, after the Cardinals, game coming up, this Sunday. Skins, go to Arizona. What are you looking for besides the obvious, a win this weekend, Kevin?
I'm looking for the commitment. Commitment to whatever the philosophy is going to be with this team. At this time, there's no more feeling it out. Although, now this is one thing I remember saying on the first show.
Mm-hmm.
The way that these teams do it, the first game of the regular season is still pretty much a preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for every other team except for this one. Except for this team. This team has never won an opener under Jay Gruden.
Right.
He
right.
needs to establish himself. He needs to prove some stuff to himself. So I'm looking at this game to show us it's a microcosm of Jay Gruden and what to expect this coming season.
Absolutely.
That's right.
What I want to see, like you said, I want to see a commitment to the run. I want to see the Redskins run the ball. I don't want to see a lot of mistakes on defense. You know, I want to see tackling. I mean, fundamentals. I want to see, you know, Jonathan Allen, and I want to see De'Ron Payne, you know, show that, hey, they're going to be a dynamic duo that folks are going to have to, you know, account for this season. That, you know, when you play the Redskins, you're going to have to worry about what's happening coming up the middle.
Because they're coming to bring
the noise. So that's really what I want to see. I want to see Alex Smith. I mean, we can talk all we want to about what he did in Kansas City and all this other kind of stuff. That's a different team, different coach, different talent pool that he had in Kansas City. I want to see what he's going to do with these guys. And I'll be honest with you, to franchise Kirk Cousins 1 year and then come back and franchise him the next year, then let him go to Minnesota, I want to see an improvement in the offense. I want to see what makes Alex Smith so much better to where you could just let Kirk Cousins walk to Minnesota. You know what I mean? And you bring in Alex Smith, and we should be happy with it. I mean, we just assume that it's going to work out better. I want to see it on the field.
Well, you know, if
because I was one of the guys who didn't have a problem with Kirk Cousins.
Oh, yeah. Well, you were one of I heard he was a nice guy. But, you know, you were one of the guys. I had a problem with Kirk because I thought that the whole thing about Kirk getting the job, mm-hmm. not really competing for the job, Jay hitching his wagon to Kirk, knowing that, you know, not, you know, deactivating RG3 so Kirk wouldn't have to have
I thought it was grimy the way he got the job. I definitely thought it was grimy the way he got the job. We hear you, Captain. Okay. So I thought it was grimy the way he got it, but I felt like once he had it, he was all right.
You know, that's what he thought. He thought he was all right.
But let me say this, too. I also did not see a dramatic overall improvement in the win-loss column over RG3. Like, I didn't see him win more games than I thought RG3 could have won as the quarterback.
Both of them have the same amount of playoff victories, right?
Right, you know? Exactly.
I do recall there was a game, a Monday night game in 2012. Now, you know, we revisionist, of course, but it was, for all practical purposes, a playoff game. Washington against Dallas, winner being the playoffs. So, mm-hmm. elimination game, playoff game.
Basically.
RG3 performed well.
Right.
I remember a game a couple of years ago against the Giants, last game of the season.
Basically, same deal. Yeah.
Well, no, even worse than that. The Giants were already in, weren't they?
The Giants were already in, had nothing to play for.
Mm-hmm. Resting starters.
Yeah.
Washington wins, and they're in.
Right. Should be an easy win.
And Washington got waxed.
Right.
Still can't explain that. So that's not talent right there, man. That's philosophy. And what bugs me is when you hear somebody say they didn't get them ready to play.
Let's talk about this right now. You're a professional athlete.
That's right.
From the time you were 4 years old, And I have a four-year-old. By the time, when he's got soccer, he's got basketball, he's got t-ball, he's ready to play. Right. He get up on Saturday. I mean, it could be Thursday. Is it t-ball today? No. What's up Friday? Is it t-ball today? No, you're getting on my nerves. Get out of my face. He works up on Saturday. Is it t-ball today? Yes. He's ready.
He's ready to go, right?
What athlete's not ready to go? You signed a contract, you got more money in the bank than you ever had in your life. If that green ain't motivation, ain't nothing going to motivate you. If you've been an athlete your whole life, you mean to tell me you need another man yelling at you to motivate you? I don't want to hear anything about the coaches just don't have the players ready to play. No. If your players need someone to wake them up in the morning and get them ready to play a game that they've been playing their whole life, that they used to get up when they were kids and play for free.
That's right.
You know, and need someone, and they would, and now they're getting all this money, but they need somebody to get them ready to play. I don't want them on my team.
Hey man, look, I tell you,
I want people on my team who are ready to play when they get up in the morning.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Because it's their job.
You know what though?
Because it's their job to do it. See, Kevin, I don't want to do a radio show with another host who I have to motivate to get ready to do radio.
Oh, man, I don't want to do the show today. Yeah. Oh, man.
I can't be on the show with
but here's the deal. Here's the deal, though.
Your job.
How
many people do you hire, Kevin, who don't want to do their job?
Don't want to do the job?
You wouldn't hire them, would you?
Yeah, I don't want you part of an organization.
You know, this is your job. You need to come
banging
ready
on the window trying to get in here to do the show,
exactly,
man. Yeah, you know. But here's the thing, though. Here's where you do need the coach, though. You need the coach. I don't know if anybody, I like old movies, man. You know, I always go off on a tangent. I like old movies. And the movie Ben-Hur, before the chariot race, Ben-Hur walked up to the dude who owned the horses and said, man, you got some nice horses, but you got them all mixed up. They're in the wrong place. You need to put this one on this side, that one on this side, this one will steady these three, and this one will encourage all four of them, right?
Right.
That's where you need the coach.
Well, see, now you're talking strategy.
That's where you need the coach.
And that's fine.
That's where you need the coach.
We need strategy.
But
this isn't, you know, some high school out in the boondocks where, you know, you got to get your kids revved up to play, you know, the number one team in the county.
That's right.
It's the professional football league.
But see, here's what you got to do. You got to give them their job, though. You shouldn't have to motivate them to do their job, but you got to give them the right
job to
do.
They got to know what to do.
Right. You got to give them the right job to do.
Right.
You got to say, hey, look, that guy, the guy with the ball, stop him.
Yeah.
Don't throw yourself at him. Don't wave and massage his ankles. Stop him. Right. Hug his legs.
You got to put your guys in the right position.
That's right.
Put
him on the ground, right?
Yeah.
Our guys, you keep him from getting on the ground.
Right.
If we have third and one, give me two.
It's like our guy Rick Dockwalker would say.
Yes.
It's a manhood issue.
Exactly.
You know, I got a helmet on, I got pads on, you got a helmet on, you got pads on. At this point, let's just be two men out on the field
and
play.
That's exactly what it is.
You need somebody to motivate you to play this game.
That's exactly what it's about. So first of all, we had to send the show out there to them and like maybe some kind of way covertly slipping in the helmet so they're listening to it during the course of the game, right?
Well, they haven't listened to us for the past 4 years, so they're going to listen to us this fifth year.
Well, who knows? Some of them are listening, man. Listen, that might be why Deshaun and Pierre left, right? They said, hey, these guys are right, man.
Well, they couldn't get out of town fast enough. So coming into Arizona, we talked about what we want to see happening. One quick thing that we want to do this year, too, I am coaching a flag football team. My son is playing in the flag football league. And so they didn't have a coach for the team. Mm-hmm, They're the Penguins.
Yeah.
With the Upwards Flag Football League. And so I'm coaching them because they didn't have a coach. I wasn't going to at first.
Right. Because you felt like the kids can get up and play themselves, right?
Why should I have to motivate a five-year-old to do this? No. So I was like, you know what? I didn't want to jump in. I wanted someone else to coach him. I didn't want to do it. I wanted him to hear someone else tell him what to do and he listened. But so anyway, I agreed to do it. And we had our first practice, and it was a big hour of just teaching fundamentals to 5 year olds.
Yeah.
How to get a snap, how to hand the ball off. When you get the ball, how to tuck it away, not to fumble the ball, how to tackle with the flags. I mean,
Break that trap.
Exactly. Right. And so what we're going to do is analyze one piece of the Redskins game from this week. Each week we're going to do this. And I'm going to give my expert 5-year-old flag football coach his perspective on what should have happened.
Right, as opposed to
what did.
Because as a flag football coach, you have a unique perspective,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
You know, sometimes as a pro coach, you get like, you can't see the forest for the trees,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
You know? But so yeah, I'm going to
tell them this is
that.
What I would do with my 5-year-old.
I'm really looking forward to that, right?
The First Baptist Church of Laurel Penguins.
All right.
What they should do at that. And we're ready to go. He's, by the way, he's playing running back. Because in this, so he scored the highest in the little offseason combine tryout thing. And so they put him down that he should play quarterback. I said, well, I looked at the rules. They said there's no way he's playing quarterback because the quarterback can't run the ball.
What?
The rest of the kids are slow. And so I'm like, why should he play quarterback? So that's the first. I'm glad I'm a coach, actually, because I changed. Right. I said, no.
And different in player personnel.
Exactly.
That's cool, right?
Yeah. If he could, I'm coach and GM and president. I mean, look, if he could run the ball, then I'd let him play quarterback. But he can't run the ball. So I'm not going to let the fastest kid and the one who scored highest in the tryout not be able to run the ball. That doesn't make sense.
Sounds like a sound coaching decision to me.
Exactly. And see, that's the kind of coaching decisions that you're talking about. It's not motivation at that point. We're talking strategy.
That's right. Absolutely.
And that's how we've got it going on. So before the season starts, Kevin, let's talk about the Redskins. What for you means a successful season for Washington?
Oh, playoff. Not just making the playoff and going, winning two games in the playoff.
Also, NFC championship games.
Well, let's say winning one game. Okay. I thought about it. Let's say winning one game because that, you know, we don't want that, you know, making the playoffs around here. It has been so few and far between that I think we're satisfied. We don't want to be satisfied. We're shooting for the Super Bowl. So I'm saying winning one game. How about this? A playoff game at home.
Okay.
Playoff game at home.
And you win
right?
that playoff game at home.
And that's right. You win that playoff game at home, even if you have to go on the road. I don't care about that. But how about you? What do you think?
I'm right with you. I think getting to the playoffs, actually, I think getting into the playoffs, whether you win or lose, getting into the playoffs comfortably, not backing into the playoffs.
Right.
Winning your way into the playoffs, securing that playoff spot, even if it's a wild card in week 15.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It can be home or away. Doesn't matter. Well, if it's a wild card, it'll be away. But I feel like if you secure a playoff spot by week 15 and you just don't back your way into it, that's a successful season. That's a step in the right direction, again, without you backing your way into it.
And I want to see us win the NFC East. I want to see it because that's where the best competition is going to be.
Yeah. The East is back. The NFC East is back, I think.
Look, man, you're going to have to go up against the Eagles twice a year. Mm-hmm. You had to go up against Saquon twice a year. You had to go up against Zeke and Dak twice a year.
Yeah.
You get that. You make sure that you lock that down.
Right, exactly.
And you'll be okay.
There you go. Hey. I want to bring our Cowboys insider in 1 second. Successful season for Dallas. What do you got?
Do you like Aretha Franklin?
Oh, I love the Queen of Soul.
Okay, so who's in the zoo, right? Right, I mean, because at the end of the day, we have to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Anything besides the Super Bowl for the Cowboys as an organization is always going to be a bust.
Okay.
So it has to be a Super Bowl.
That sounds like pink Cadillac material.
But if you look at it every year, like you got certain teams, right? Whether it's the Cowboys, you have who, like say the Lakers, and like the standard for that organization is always.
So I get the standard for the organization, but realistically for the Cowboys, what would make a successful season for you as a Cowboys fan?
At least one playoff win.
Okay.
You gotta give me a playoff win.
Okay.
And then if you lose in the championship, it has to be like a close game, a blown call, something crazy like that. But we got to at least win in the playoffs.
Okay.
It's no more of this 8-8, but which I will say that we should have a good season this year just because of every other year we have a good year.
Okay.
And so, I mean, if it wasn't for Aaron Rodgers, who always haunts our franchise, I mean, I think we could have did something that year that was a catch. But
absolutely.
It wasn't his fault. It was a guy who couldn't stop him when he was third and 22.
Right.
It was Heath's
fault for missing that sack.
He had him. And the guy who was chasing I think he threw to the tight end for the first down. Whoever he threw to that first down, whoever was covering him, is his fault, too.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it wasn't Aaron Rodgers' fault.
I love Heath, by the way. He's going to have a good year.
Yeah, right. I'm going to go around the league for a little bit because I wanted to take note of the fact that we are doing the show after cut day.
Mm-hmm.
And the surprise apparently around the league is that RG3 actually made it onto the Ravens roster.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting because he seems, the year away from football has humbled him, no doubt. And has also apparently been very effective because you hear nothing but praise coming out of Baltimore for this young man, right? About his effectiveness as a teammate, his effectiveness as a football player. Now, the question when they drafted Lamar Jackson was, would they keep three quarterbacks in there?
And no one thought that they would, one like RG3, who's for the most part, that's the Lamar Jackson model. I mean, Lamar Jackson got, I guess, the model of their game is kind of the same, that they wouldn't keep both of those guys.
No, but you hear all these reports.
RG3 didn't even play in the last preseason game for the Ravens. So he was a lock. They like, you know what? He's good. We're good. Don't need to see him anymore.
Which was very disappointing because everybody, love him or hate him, they wanted to see him play.
Right.
They wanted to see him play against Washington because he was run out of town.
He was
run out of town.
And it wasn't fair. It wasn't fair.
It was fake news. It was the epitome of fake news.
And can I be honest? I still like to see RG3 play. Watched almost every single Ravens preseason game, every snap when he had the ball.
Right. First pass was the guy who was a former number one pick.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hit him in the hands.
Right.
And he dropped it, right? But you know, it made me wonder if Flacco's days aren't numbered.
Right.
I mean, with the contract and
I'm sure they are. Sure they are. I mean, and think about it. If you have Lamar Jackson, whether he's ready to start next year or not, if you have RG3 on the roster, that's a good placeholder till Lamar Jackson's ready. That's basically the same guy.
Really?
For the
really?
Most part. And then even if Lamar Jackson starts, why wouldn't you have RG3 backing him up? You wouldn't have to change anything about the offense.
That's right.
They're the same kind of player. RG3 is still a young guy. It's so funny because somebody was talking about Kirk Cousins, how the way his contract is structured with the Vikings, that Kurt actually could have another big payday. He'll still be in his late 20s by the time this contract's out.
Who
else, too? RG3.
That's right.
Still a young guy.
That's right. That's
so they
right.
both could still grow into being, you know, he and Lamar Jackson.
It will be interesting on game one to see who is inactive, to see if RG3 or Lamar is inactive, right?
Right.
Because if Lamar was ready to play, I think he'd be playing.
I think if Lamar was ready to play, that wouldn't mean see you later to RG3. That might mean see you later to Joe Flacco.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. There's something to watch. And then there was the move of the Raiders sending Khalil Mack to the Bears.
Yep. Destined to win 6 games this year.
Which is, I don't understand. I mean, sometimes you just need a change of venue, right? Maybe the relationship had soured. Maybe with Coach Gruden, he didn't like Coach Gruden. Coach Gruden didn't like him or whatever. But it was obvious that wasn't going anywhere. That was so strange.
And when the Raiders defense suffers because of it, and you look at the salary, at least we've got John Gruden coaching.
That's right.
Sometimes you got to swallow your pride.
Sometimes you got to. And, the Bears are better off for it. I mean, they're going to be hurting. We've seen teams.
The Bears could use a quarterback. They should talk to the Ravens.
Oh, absolutely. You see,
talk trade for Joe Flacco.
You see teams ride a defense. Can you imagine that? that would immediately put the Bears into contention.
Right. Yeah. To have a quarterback like Flacco. Yeah. Because right. yeah, Trubisky, I don't think he's going to get it done.
Yeah. No matter what they try, no matter
he can get it done.
Number one, it takes too much. It's too much weight from all the letters on his jersey, man. It's holding him down. Yes, right. That's another theory I have. Aaron Rodgers is going to have a down year because you can't run with all that money in your wallet.
Right. It's going to slow you down.
It's going to slow you down.
It stops your agility.
That's right.
The thing we call agility.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, look, it's the first full week before the first full weekend of actual football that matters.
Real football.
That counts. Real football.
Real football.
And you know what? I can't wait.
Wait. Are you talking about Manny's games or are you talking about the NFL?
Oh, he kicks off in 2 weeks. His first game is Saturday, September 15th.
Oh, we can't wait for that, man.
That's going to be excellent.
Right. Yeah.
But yesterday, this past weekend was great because it was a full slate of college football games on. What I can't wait for is to get up next weekend, Saturday, have a full slate of college football games, knowing that the next day, tomorrow, there'll be a full slate of regular season NFL games.
How
it's
about
nothing
that?
Better than that.
Y'all keep y'all Stanfields on.
There you go. Right. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.